Good morning, and we welcome all of you today, and trust that you're ready to hear the Word of God, and we certainly trust that you have your Bibles there with you so that you can follow along in our different passages this morning. Before we begin, however, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, how grateful we are to you for all of your blessings in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the way you have looked over us as a congregation during these times in which we are facing this pandemic and locked up in our homes. And I pray, Lord, that you will be with each of us, and that you will be especially close to us in this time. Help us, Father, to take advantage of the time to look into your word, to pray, and to seek your guidance and your counsel and your comfort. And I pray, Lord, that this time might be shortened until we can come back together and we can worship you as you have commanded in your word. Now, Lord, as we look into your word today, just pray that you will speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to examine our lives. I pray that you will help us to be obedient to you. Now, bless us, I pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, our passage this morning is found in the book of James, James chapter 5 and verse 12. And as you know, we have been moving through the entire book of James during these past weeks and months, and we're coming down toward the end. And this morning we find ourselves in James chapter 5 and verse 12. We just have one verse this morning, and so this is what we read. This is what James is telling us. He's saying, "But above all, brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." A sobering verse, and a verse, I guess, that all of us need to really think about. I've entitled this morning's lesson or message, Truth, The Truth Will Set You Free. And as we begin, I was sort of stunned at an article I read, but stunned in the sense of just rethinking of the truth of this little paragraph from John MacArthur. And so I'd like to begin with that this morning. And John, in this passage, actually, as he was introducing it, he said this. "Fallen men are basically inveterate liars. Children lie to their parents. Parents lie to their children. Husbands lie to their wives. And wives lie to their husbands. People lie to their employers, who in turn lie to them, and often lie to the public. Politicians lie to get elected and continue to lie once they are in office. People lie to the government, perhaps most notably on their income tax returns. Educators lie, scientists lie, and members of the media lie. Our society is built on a framework of lies, leading one to wonder whether our social structure would survive if everyone were forced to speak the truth for even one day." Wow, that is sobering. And as I read that and realized it really fit with our message this morning, I thought I would begin by reading that quote to you. But let's begin by reviewing the study. You see, this verse is not an isolated verse in Scripture. It is connected to a larger context, a larger passage. And so I'd just like to begin with a little bit of review so that we can pick up that context. And when I'm studying for messages and studying for different studies that I'm going to do, I like to talk my way through a passage so that I can see how it is flowing together, how that passage flows, and it helps me to understand the context of the passage. So let's do a brief talk through of these verses, at least this section, beginning with James chapter 4 and verse 9, and moving on to chapter 5 and verse 12. James begins by saying, "You ungodly rich, you should be weeping and mourning because of the way that you have exploited your workers. Their cries have reached the ears of the Lord. But you believers, be patient as you wait for justice. You must establish your hearts and don't grumble against each other." And now we come to our passage for this morning. This is what has been happening. And as I do this, I was thinking and I thought of some counsel that I had heard years ago. An old pastor was giving illustrations to young preachers, and he said to them, "When you get up to preach, the first thing you do is tell them what you're going to tell them. And then the second thing is you tell them. And then the third thing, you tell them what you told them. And then sit down." Well, as we reach the last part of this, and today's verse, I want to tell you what I'm going to tell you this morning in our message. And here's what it is, all summarized into about three or four points here. James says, "But above all." All right, we're coming back to that. And then he says, "Don't swear by any oath. Just always tell the truth, and you will not be condemned." Whoa. All right. Well, let's look at that. That's what we're going to talk about today. And so he begins by saying, above all, because James is at the coming close to the end of this whole section. He tells them, but above all, which really means most importantly. James is saying, "Now I've told you all of these things, you know, about the rich taking advantage of you, and you be patient as you wait for the rich." Now, above all of that, he's going to give them a message. And this message is very important. It's so easy when we're looking at the Scripture to gloss over things. And so James is being very cautious to make sure we are listening to what he's saying. And so he's telling us that above all, listen. It should not be taken lightly what James is going to tell us. Okay, so he tells us, first of all, do not swear. James refers back to Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 34 through 37. Now, I have to admit to you, you're going to see me picking up my paper, my Bible. I came to church to have this message taped. I got here and realized I forgot my glasses. So I ran down to the drugstore and got a pair, and now I realize they're not exactly right. So you pardon me for picking stuff up here to read it. So James now is teaching in Matthew, or referring to Matthew chapter 5, verse 34, where Jesus is giving this very same message. And this is what Jesus said. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Now listen to this, the way Jesus ends this section. Anything more than this comes from evil. Wow. This is a very important and noteworthy subject. People in Jesus' day, mainly the Pharisees and others in that day, were lying to one another. And then to make their lie sound credible, they would swear by certain elements around them so that they would impress upon people the truthfulness of what they were saying. One thing Israel did not do. Now, they were swearing by the temple, they were swearing by the earth, they were swearing by even their own head, by Jerusalem. But one thing they did not swear by, as a rule, was swear by God's name. In fact, they swore by these other things in order to avoid swearing by the very name of God. Because they knew the scriptures. And they knew the seriousness of the use of the name of God. They were aware of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 12, where it says, you shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Now listen, they also knew the Ten Commandments, and they knew Exodus 20 and verse 7 that says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. They took this command so seriously that they even exaggerated it. And when the scribes were copying portions of the scriptures. You remember in those days there were no printing presses, and so any copies had to be done by hand. And when those scribes would come across the name of God, they were shaken with fear to write the name of God. And consequently, we really do not know today the true pronunciation of some of these words, these names of God, because they would leave out the vowels, and they had a number of tricks so that they wouldn't be writing down the name of God. But when they had to do that, they would lay their pen down, they would leave the room, they would take a bath, they would change their clothes, and then they would come back and pick up a brand new pen, and then they would write the name of God. That's how serious a thing it was to the Jewish people. And because of the seriousness of the name of God, they began to swear by other things. Now, what I was thinking was, boy, we should compare this with our flippant use of God and God's name in our own day and our own societies. You know, one time I actually heard a parent saying to a child, to their child, "I swear by God, I'll kill you." Now, isn't that something to tell your child? But isn't that something to use the name of God so flippantly? Barbara and I want to tell you, never permitted our children to use the name of God lightly and flippantly. As most of you know, we lived in Brazil, and one of the most common expressions in the Portuguese language was, "Oh, meu Deus," or "Oh, my God." And people just use it over and over and over. You could hardly speak the Portuguese language without using that phrase, "Oh, my God." And we use it in our country, too, in our society. But we didn't allow our children to do that out of reverence for God. I remember one time there were two little kids. I'm going to guess they were 4 or 5 years old, maybe 6, and two little boys, and they were playing, and one wanted to make a point, and I guess they had been arguing about something and what was true, and the one boy said to the other, "Swear, swear." And the other little boy, just as quick flashback at him, "Por Deus, by God, I swear." And it was just so ingrained in the society and in the language of the people. It just rolled off of people's lips. And every time I heard it, it just went through me like a knife. And consequently, as I mentioned, we did not allow our children to use those phrases in our home. Since Israel didn't swear by God, they had to find something to swear by. So they swore by heaven, they swore by God's throne, they swore by the earth, they swore by Jerusalem, and they swore by their own head. I've heard people say in our society, "I swear over my mother's grave. And people try to find things to swear by. But you know something? Jesus said, "Don't swear by anything." And then he goes on to the next point in the verse. He says, "But above all," see how important it is, "my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no, no." And so James' next point to the believers was that their word should be enough. Why should we have to swear to one another? Our word should be enough. But our word really comes out of our character. It comes out of experience. It comes out of the way we have lived, the way we have talked in our lives. Truthfulness is all that we need to be believable. Or it should be. And so our yes should always mean yes. Our no, as we interact with one another, should always be no. You see, we should always say what we mean and mean what we say. Now that is very different than our society today. But we are very different. You see, we're God's people. And we should live differently than the world around us. And first and foremost, we have to realize, as born-again believers, that we are truthful because God is truth. Because God is truth, we must be truthful. Listen to Psalm 86 and verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. And then look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. We are to speak the truth. We are to speak the truth to one another as members of the family of God. And we do that primarily because God is truth. Our goal as believers is to live our lives out of God's character according to God's character. You know something? And I heard this phrase many years ago. That as believers in Jesus Christ, our lives are the only Bible that most people will ever read. We as born-again believers are now a new person. And as a new person, forgiven of our sin, given the Holy Spirit by which we can live out our lives, who counsels us, who teaches us, who guides us. Our goal is now to live in conformity with all of those characteristics of God. So we should love just as God loves. You see, we should forgive just as God forgives. We should be a just people because God is just. But we should be a truthful people because God is truth. Well, the second thing then is that if we are living rightly, there is no need to swear. We must say what we mean and mean what we say, all right? This is so true, parents. Are you listening? This is so true with your children. It is important to always tell your children the truth. So many parents lie to their children. The children then learn that lying is okay. And guess what? In a few years, the parents are horrified when their children lie to them. They learned it, actually, from their parents. But worse yet, they learn not to believe their parents, even when the parents are telling them, giving to them helpful information for their lives. You see, it goes much further than just saying certain words. We are building a reputation. We build a reputation with our family. We build a reputation with the community at large. We build a reputation within the body of Jesus Christ so that when we speak, there is never any doubt as to what we are saying, that is truth, we are speaking truth. What about our reputation at work? You know, our reputation at work should be one of utter, you guessed it, truthfulness. I remember when I was driving the school bus for 11 years. They knew, my superiors knew, that I told the truth. Now that didn't mean that when an issue came up, they didn't investigate. That was their job, to investigate. I had kids that would tell just outright lies. I remember one time a girl called her mother, because all the kids have cell phones on the bus these days, and called her mother and said that I had hit another car and never stopped, just kept right on going. And we as bus drivers many times had stories told about us. And it was up to our dispatchers to then find out if there was any truth. But they knew when I spoke that I was speaking the truth. But as I mentioned, that didn't mean they didn't investigate. They investigated, but you know what it told? In the end of their investigation, it came out that I was telling the truth. And that only builds greater and greater confidence in us and in our jobs. Truthfulness is all that we need to be credible. When it becomes the very character of our lives, our very lifestyle, there is no need to swear that we are telling the truth. Well, here's some observations that I was thinking of concerning untruthfulness or lying. The first one is that one lie always leads to more lies. Now, for those of you that are not very compassionate about hunters, you just close your ears here at this point, and I'll tell you when you can uncover your ears. But I went hunting with a friend, and was out of the area. And I was getting dark at night, but it was just the time I always hunt by the watch, and when the chart says that 6:03, I stopped shooting at 6:03, and I've taught my grandchildren to do that. That's part of honesty. It's part of truthfulness. And it was just coming up. It was 6:03. I reached up and took off of the hook my crossbow, and just at that second, a deer came walking right under me. I wheeled around, and I shot. Well, I knew I hit it, and hit it well, and I couldn't find it at night, so we decided we'd come back in the morning, and all night I laid there thinking, you know, as I think about it, I don't think that was a legal deer. I think that was a buck, and I was waiting for a doe at this point. And hadn't seen any antlers, but I couldn't be sure. The next morning, we went out. Oh, I had been wondering what I would do if I had made an illegal kill. Well, the next morning, we went out, and sure enough, there was the deer. And great big long spikes on it. You couldn't miss them. And so we drug him across the field, went back home. And I thought, now what do I do? I thought, well, the game law says for a mistaken kill to call for the game warden to come. Now, I knew he would take the deer. And so I said, okay, So I called a couple numbers. I got the right one, and they said, okay, stay right there. The game warden's coming. Well, when the game warden came, he did all his paperwork, and we were chatting there, I found out he was a believer. And so as we were talking, I said to him, you know, I know that, and I realize that I couldn't try to cover this up, that I had to do the right thing because I have grandchildren at home that are just waiting for me to come back and say, Vovo, did you get a deer? Did you get a deer? You know, the next thing, if I had lied and not called in to the game department as I should have, that would have been lie one. Then I would have lied to my grandchildren. Can you imagine telling a lie to your grandchildren? Then I would have to also have lied to Barbara. Then I would have to have lied to my friends. And worse yet, when I had to declare before the state a deer kill, I would have had to have lied to the state. And I only tell that story to show you that a lie never ends with that one lie. That lie causes another lie to cover up, and another lie to cover up, and another lie to cover up, and our reputation is ruined. That is not how God's people are to live. Another thing about not telling the truth. Lying causes guilt that haunts us and robs us of peace. In the book of Psalms, David was crying out to the Lord. And in Psalm 32, in verses 2 through 5, David is lamenting his sin before the Lord. And so beginning in verse 2, Psalm 32:2 says, blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Wow, here is David under the very heavy hand of God. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to tell you, when we are believers and we do the wrong thing, I want to tell you that the Spirit of God within us begins to work, and He uses a heavy load of guilt until we resolve that issue. It affects our lives in many different ways, and many times, most times probably, we don't even make the connection between that and our lifestyle. Well, the third thing is that lying to one another breaks intimate fellowship. First, our fellowship with God has been broken. And we've just talked about that. Then, our fellowship with the people that we love most is broken. The fellowship with our husband, the fellowship with our wife. And the reason that is broken, there is a guilt underneath of knowing that we did not tell the truth. And so a coldness begins to enter into that relationship. And it all came because of sin, and in this case, not being truthful. And then there is a coldness with the people of God. When we are untruthful, we begin to avoid other believers because of the guilt in our lives. And another thing is lying destroys our witness and our testimony. It causes others to see us as hypocrites and phonies. And after all, who will believe a hypocrite or a phony? And so our whole testimony before others is destroyed when they see us in the midst of an untruth. Well, our very last point, and very quickly, it is that James ends up by saying, let your yes, yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Now, we already know that unbelievers are under condemnation, not only from lying, but from a whole lifestyle, and they're going to pay for that. Listen to Revelation 21:18. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers and the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, now listen, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. But for Christians, there is also a price to be paid. There are consequences. There are consequences to lifestyle that we cannot avoid. And we already read about that in Psalm 32 and in some of our remarks this morning. Well, in conclusion, let me say that our big idea today, got that, kids? Our big idea today, the main thing, the main takeaway from our message today is always tell the what, kids? Truth. Always tell the truth. And you will not need to swear to make your word credible. You will be credible. Wow. Our lives matter, don't they? And they affect all of our living. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. God and our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the counsel that you give us. And thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that guides us and helps us. We do have a sin nature. We are not perfect. But help us, Lord, to recognize when we fail and take steps to correct what we have done. I pray that you will be with each of us today and be glorified in our lives. I pray, Lord, here at Calvary Bible Church, we will be a people that is recognized by the world as being a people who tell the truth. Bless each of us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.